to a Clubfoot Mom podcast. I am your host and fellow Clubfoot Mom, Maureen Hoff. So I don't know if most of the listeners know this about me, but I'm pretty avid reader. I read all different types of books and recently have started to have the capacity to listen to audiobooks because for the longest time I could not have any other audio input with my kids around. So I was never in any car space or any spot where I wasn't dealing with them, one, all of them, and the constant feedback from them. And so I really enjoy reading, and I was reading something recently. So I was reading the new Leanne Moriarty book, which is called Here One Moment. And it's a very interesting premise behind the book. And a lot of it is about grief and kind of, for lack of a better word, death and kind of the expectations around that. And there was this one section that I ended up taking a picture of because I just thought, this really resonates with me. So I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to tell you why it resonates and how I think it applies to the Clubfoot journey in general. So it's a very particular time in your life when someone you love is dying. The world doesn't stop for you. We know this, but in our hearts, we are shocked. We are like famous people who say, "But don't you know who I am?" Except for we want to say, "But don't you know what I'm going through? How can you speak to me like that when my mother is dying?" There are still red lights and rude people, long lines and lost keys. You can still stub your toe and it will still hurt like the devil. The difference is that your reaction may be gargantuan. You may react with a rage-filled stream of profanity, the likes of which your aunt has never heard since the war. You may scream in your car at a red light and scare small children, but the world still goes on. So I thought of that in relation to how I felt my world stopped and was so impacted when my cutie was diagnosed in utero with clubfoot. And I've talked about in previous episodes about how there were moments, like there were, it overwhelmed my entire life. Like there wasn't a minute, a moment that I didn't think about it where it was every single thing was related back to what we were going to go through with our baby. And I thought of this passage in relation to that, about not necessarily how something happens when you die, but there's that similar experience when you experience a major life change, like a life-altering thing. And I always think about that this time of year, because when our cutie was diagnosed, it was the middle of December, and that inevitably meant that we had so many social functions with family and friends and coworkers and Christmas parties. And I remember just feeling like I can't do it. I couldn't function like I was expected to anymore because my life had so changed and nobody knew about it because we had made the decision not to say anything until we had confirmed her diagnosis and the second ultrasound. And I will tell you, I had experiences where I just thought very innocuous things that would not have bothered me 2 days prior to the diagnosis, that just destroyed me, that made me feel like, how could they ever say that to me? How could someone ever ask me that? How could someone ever even insinuate something like that? And even now looking back, I think my reaction was so extreme because I was in the middle of processing it all. In my life, the whole expectation of what my life was going to be was altered. And everything around me just kept moving. And everyone else just stayed the same. And kept moving forward, I guess, right? And I almost felt stuck. Like, I couldn't move forward because I didn't know what that path was going to look like because it was going to be so different from what I had experienced before or what I envisioned it looking like. And I think anybody that has dealt with a death of a loved one or a significant altering of life understands this idea, this concept that you feel frozen and it was like no one else could reach. I just remember I had so many things where I couldn't even focus on what anyone was saying. I spent so much time during that holiday season, frankly, in bathrooms crying because I didn't have an outlet for understanding or to process my emotions, and I just couldn't function publicly. Even with people that I love, that I knew, and that I really cared for and trusted, because I just looked at them and thought, you don't understand how big of a change this is for me and how scared I am and how it is taking over every single thought. Any sort of brain space I had was about that. And I think back to that, especially this time of year, and my husband and I talk about it too, and how we just, that season was all colored in Clubfoot. It was every memory I have of that time revolved around that. There is not a single moment during those holiday seasons that I remember that wasn't the forefront of my mind. And I didn't know how to change it. And I think that's a part of my own personal experience. I know that not everybody has it maybe to that same extent. I have talked to several moms who, you know, really were able to be like, okay, this, we're going to deal with this when the baby's born and I'm going to enjoy the remainder of my pregnancy. And that was not our experience, or my experience at least. So I just want to normalize for any parents out there who are thinking like that or have just recently got a diagnosis and feel like the constant overwhelming thoughts are never going to go away. And I will say that I eventually, it started to dissipate to the point where once we for sure knew what the diagnosis was going to be and I could start to really wrap my head around, okay, what does this mean? What kind of treatment are we looking at? How I started to put things in place. And I think that happened after the first of the year for me. So during that time period between middle of December towards the end, where we were with everybody all the time, there was a lot of unknown and I felt so much out of control that I didn't know what to expect. And it wasn't until I was able to start kind of researching, putting plans in place, really thinking about what this was going to look like and come to terms with the fact that this was real, like that the diagnosis was accurate and we needed to adjust what we were expecting for our third child. And also knowing that we wouldn't really know what that was going to look like until we were in it. But at least at that point, I was able to game plan, and I think that helped at least ease a little bit of that. But every time of year, I think about that and how much it changed the way I viewed the world during that time frame. And I think anyone who is going through this or any diagnosis really knows what that feels like and how you can be looking at the world around you thinking, how does everybody just keep going on? I remember writing in the book about how I just felt so like everything was so unfair. Like, how is it that all my neighbors got to have babies that didn't have any issues, right? Like, there were those thoughts that just came through my mind of like, why? Like, why is it me? And like, don't you know who I am? Like, and not because I'm anything famous, but just like, don't you know? Like, this is not what I was expecting. And having to come to terms with that is not linear and it's not straightforward and it's tricky and challenging and it's all part of your process. And I think I'm grateful for the fact that I didn't shy away from how much I felt, because I think it allowed me to move forward when I needed to. And while I feel big emotions, and my family and husband will say, there's never been an emotion that I've had that you can't see on my face, I at least feel like being able to feel them helps me move forward. And I've talked a lot about that on this podcast too. So anyways, that's just what I was thinking about, what comes up for me this time of year when we start to reach that time frame of when she was originally diagnosed and when everything kind of changed the trajectory of my life in particular. So anyways, thanks for listening. And if you know someone else who could benefit from hearing this, then please feel free to share. If you would like to get in contact with me, you can do so through my website at maureenhoff.com or my Instagram account at ClubfootChroniclesMom. Until next time.